Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, and I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I'm talking to you today on the subject, the discovery of God's abundance. Part 2, you may be seated. There is a God that the world has never known and the church has never experienced. But as we come to the end of the age, you can be assured that God is not going to be anticlimactic and the church is not going to limp to the finish line. But the church is going to have not only a burst of energy, but an anointing of the Holy Ghost that it has never known. And we are going to be a victorious group of people. I told you that the word abundance Wednesday night means parousos in the Greek. That means the sense of beyond that what you can think or imagine, beyond what you can describe. That's God's abundant. He is super abundant, not only in quantity, but also in quality. He is amazing God. He's excessive. He is large. He is bigger than large. He's exceeding. He's very highly beyond measure. He's more. He's superfluous. God is all of that, and He wants to be in your life. If your life is slightly better than it was before you got saved, you have not yet understood the abundance of God. Because God didn't just to make your life come to make your life a little better. He came to make it brand new. There is a God that has got abundance. And as I said, God does not have to rob from you to give to somebody else or rob somebody else to give to you. He is a God of abundant resource, and He's made it available to you. The thrill of God is that God wants to exceed abundance. That's what it says. Whatever's happened in your life that is good, God wants to multiply it 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. But the Bible warns us that Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. And we do not want to limit God. We want to take the limits off and let God be God in our life. When you talk about the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, he was not in pain. He was not dying. He simply was limited. God might not come to you just in your time of death, but He wants to be a God of life. And you might not be dying, and you might not be in pain, but you might be limiting what God wants to do in your life. And so the message to this church and the message to each one of us individually is the same as it was to the man in the synagogue. Stretch forth. God wants to stretch you. And when you stretch, it's going to cause a little pain. By nature, people don't like to change. But you have to change to have something you do not have now. And so you need to stretch yourself a little bit. You're going to want to sing a little louder than you've ever sang. You're going to want to dance a little more often and frequently than you have before. You want to praise God with a little more enthusiasm than you ever have before. You want to give a greater gift than you've ever given. God wants you to stretch yourself that you might discover His abundance. You'll never experience the abundance of God if you do not know the nature of God. The greatest mistake that people make, the Bible teaches us in Romans that they make God in their own image. Don't limit God to your attributes. He is a God far above us. We cannot know His ways, but we can know that they are greater than ours. And so don't limit God to what you think He is like, because He is a God that cannot be fully described. His love is beyond measure, but you have to get a good image of God. As long as you think God is Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, you will always be a little afraid of Him. And when you're fearful, it casts out the love that you should have for God. You can't be equally afraid of God and equally faithful. You've got to realize that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take away every barrier so that you can come without fear to the throne of grace, the throne of favor. And so when you see God as a godly Father, not as a mean judge, not as somebody that is waiting to get even with you, but a God that is bending over the balcony of heaven and His hands are full of gifts and God says, I bring them to you. So do not limit God. Don't limit God in whatever things the world tries to put on you. Stretch forth in your faith. You must believe that God is, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Every day of my life, I experience the goodness of God. And that's scriptural. The Bible said He will give you not monthly, not annual, not bi-monthly, but He will give you daily bread. God wants to be your God every day. If you haven't experienced the abundance of God today on this Sunday, well, He wants you to do that before you go to bed at night. And realize that the gift of God is what God has imposed in your life. And you need to be expecting it. You need to be talking about it. You need to be conversing about it. You need to be praising God. It's all right to praise God before it happens, because it's a surety it's going to happen. You need to dance in advance. You need to praise God like it's already manifest, because God is on your side. We read in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 54 of the woman that is barren. It's a type of Israel, but it's also a type of every one of us. There's nothing wrong with a barren woman. It doesn't mean that she's not going to enjoy life. It doesn't mean that she's going to die. It simply means that she's not going to be productive. Do you know the devil wants you not to be productive in your life? He wants you just to go to work and come home and get up and go to work and never be productive in your life. But God wants to make you a productive person. What does that mean? That means God wants to do for you what you can't do for yourself. That means that God wants you to make a difference in your world, in your family, on your job, in your neighborhood, in your church. He wants you to become a productive person, but it starts with attitude. He said to the barren woman, you got to change your attitude. You can mope and you can complain and say, other women are having children and I'm not. Other women are productive and I'm not. He said, if that's your attitude, you're going to stay in that doldrum. But if you'll change your attitude, and this is the way we discover the productivity of God, we begin to be a God of worship and praise. Friend, there is something about somebody that will worship God regardless of what's happened in their life. They don't just worship the Lord when they win the lottery or get a new car or get a raise. They praise the Lord every day of their life. They sing the Lord's song in a strange land. When the devil comes in like a flood, they raise up a standard of praise. And they say, God is good all the time. I never curse God. The Bible said about Job, in all of this he sinned not. But then there's a special category, and it said he charged not God foolishly. Do you blame God when you get a bad report from the doctor? Do you blame God when you get fired? Do you blame God when your children misbehave? Or do you say, God is good all the time? I'm going to give God praise until my children turn around. I'm going to praise God until I get the promotion. I'm going to praise God until the doctor has to say, I made a mistake. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I know what the sacrifice of praise is. It's praise when your flesh is rebellion. It's praise when your flesh is saying, oh, you are going to be defeated. It's praise when the check didn't come in the mail. It's praise when somebody criticizes you for doing the right thing. You say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God anyway. Friend, Jesus is telling us today, like Isaiah was telling the barren woman, no matter what's happened to you, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. You might have gone through a great trial this week, but I challenge you on this Sunday morning right now to begin to praise and magnify God. Some of you don't know this, but what's awaiting you this next week, you already believe it's going to be bad. But I can tell you right now, if you'll take these few moments on a Sunday morning and lay every burden aside, cast every weight aside, cast all your sins on the Lord, and to say an old phrase, I think I'll praise the Lord while I have a chance. If you'll stand up and begin to magnify the Lord, it will cause angels to come to your assistance. It will cause demons to flee from you. If you want to discover the abundance of God, become a praiser. All of my life, I wished I could sing like Becky Fender or Bo Williams. I wished I could preach like T.D. Jakes. Well, friend, you cannot exceed above your ability. It's just your ability. You either can or you can't. But that does not limit you, because the real blessing of God does not come because of talent. It comes because of the fact that you simply will not quit. I've told you about my friend that was born like a horseshoe with his feet attached to the back of his head. They cut those feet loose, but all of his life he was a cripple. He was so contorted in his movements, but he was one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life. He wrote a book called You Got to Have the One Too. If a man with his heels attached to the back of his head can write a book called You Got to Have the One Too, what can you do? You sit here on the pew and you say, well, I'm not sure things are going my way. That's not God's fault. Don't charge God foolishly. Lift him up. Exalt him. He's a good God all the time. He made you in his image. He redeemed you by his Son. His blood has covered you. He's filled you with his Spirit. He's charted your course. He said, I will rebuke the adversary for your sake. He's a mighty God. And what he's saying, does anybody in this building have the want to? Are you going to complain because you're barren? Are you going to begin to produce something in your life? You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was touched with the infirmity, with the feeling of our infirmity. I ask you, if you are touched by other people's infirmity, you should be if you want to be productive. For the Bible told us to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. That's a part of our productivity, that we are able to emulate the actions of God in other people's lives and say, I can make a difference in their life. I want to hope that I've made difference in thousands of people's lives, but praise God, I believe the best is yet to come. I believe there's a new day. I believe there's a new anointing. I believe there's new energy. I believe there's new revelation. And I say, God, I am not simply going to say I don't have the talent of some people. I'm going to praise more than I've ever praised. I'm going to lift up Jesus higher than I've ever lifted him up, because I believe the next years of my life are going to be the most productive. Praise God. God sends people around and they spur me on and they tell me what I can do. I don't listen to the naysayers. I listen to those people that encourage me. And there's lots of people that will encourage you if you'll just listen to them and turn a deaf ear to those that criticize you. It's time that we sing a song. It's not time that we complain about being barren, but we say, I have never discovered the abundance of God in my life. God wants to make me a standout child of Almighty God. God wants to do something in my life that will absolutely flabbergast my family. When I go to the family reunion, praise God, it will turn to be a revival meeting, because they'll want to know how I've done it. And I can tell them about Jesus. Jesus is the abundance of Almighty God. When you see Jesus, you know about love. When you see Jesus, you know about God's power. When you see Jesus, you know about God's companion. Friend, I want to tell you, you do not have a failure, a sin, or a mistake that can anyway stymie the power of Almighty God. He's a living God. He's alive in the 21st century. He's in this building right now. I don't care what the devil's come against you with. There's no weapon that's going to bring you down. It doesn't matter if it's sickness. It doesn't matter if it's poverty. It doesn't matter what it is. My God is greater. You need to get up every morning with a praise on your lips and say, my God is for me. Who can be against me? I'm an overcomer. I will put the devil on the run. I'll have victory in my life. Can somebody give God some praise in this house today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the third and final point of this little message on discovering the abundance of God is this. Not only do we discover God in faith, and not only do we discover God in worship, but we also discover God in the power of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, churches are making a mistake when they're dumbing their churches down to the world standards. The Apostle Paul was a great preacher, but he said, I come to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Friend, I want to tell you about a man in the Bible that evidently was in poverty, because when God told them that they need to make their place larger and they need to make their place bigger, he had to borrow an axe. He was so poor that he couldn't even afford his own axe, but he joined the crowd. You know, I heard a great preacher the other day, and I heard him, and he's just such an amazing preacher. He's on television a lot. And he said, when I first started preaching, he said, I couldn't put a sermon together. So he said, I just preached all of T.D. Jakes' sermons until I got to where I could preach my own. It's all right to emulate great people of God. It's all right to borrow an axe once in a while. It's all right to look at somebody great in the kingdom of God. But I promise you, at some point in your life, there will be a time where you cannot borrow. You'll have to have it for yourself. It might have been your mama, it might have been your daddy, your preacher, or somebody else in your life, but this is the time that we say, no longer can I borrow somebody else's anointing, somebody else's conviction, somebody else's dedication. I'm going to get it for myself. The thing about borrowing something, you got to give it back. But the Bible said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I want to tell somebody in this audience today that God wants to give you something of your own. Something that's never been used. Something that's never been in a pawn shop. It's going to be your anointing. It's going to be your song. It's going to be your gift. It's going to be your miracle. It's going to be your healing. But you've got to discover the abundance of God. It's not just for somebody. It's for everybody. It's for anybody. This is our finest day and hour, and we need to make the acquisition. We need to broaden the place. We need to enlarge the place. You say, but I'm a little fearful. Friend, even if you fail and your axe falls in the water, God will make it swim. There's no greater story in the Bible than an iron axe swimming. I'm telling you, God can do anything. Friend, if you get an axe that can swim, you can get on America's Got Talent. If you get an axe that can swim, you'll never have to work another day in your life. God's got something inside of you that will transcend this world, and it will become money in the bank. It will become favor in the community. It will become strength in the church. And God is saying, please discover my abundance. I'm not a weak God. I'm not a poor God. I'm not an old God. I'm not a God running on my rims. I'm not a God that's about out of resources. I am he which was, which is, and which is to come. What I was, I always will be. If I used to be a healer, I'm a healer now. Discover the abundance of God. He is a way maker, friend. He can turn around. And that great God is in this church right now. And the devil is begging preachers to limit him. But friend, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to limit God. I'm going to tell you, God is a good God all the time. I'm going to tell you, his mercy is better than your mistake. I'm going to tell you that his grace is greater than your failure, and is in this house right now. And he said, all of you that are heavy laden, come unto me. I don't care what your problem is. As I said Wednesday night, Creflo said, God came to put the super on your natural. And you might seem to be a natural person, but you're not. You're supernaturally anointed of Almighty God. The Holy Ghost is inside you. It's on you. Praise God. Your greatest days are yet ahead of you. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God's going to do something great and fantastic in your life. Can you give God some praise all over this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this building right now. Praise God. There's somebody right back here. You're getting a healing in your body in the name of Jesus. Just get your healing right now. Just get your healing. It won't bother me. Friend, you have to understand this about me when I'm preaching. I'm not in competition with God. I'm on the same side. So when I'm preaching and you start saying Jesus and you're not saying Steve, it don't bother me a bit. Oh, when you're shouting, I just shout a little louder. And somebody in this building right over here is getting a miracle in your body right now. You ought to shout it out. You ought to glorify the Lord. You ought to say, hey, preacher, I'm experiencing the abundance of God. He's got more healing than you've got cancer. He's got more healing than you've got pain and is in this building. He's got more money than you've got bills. He's got more grace than you've got sin. He's got more love than you've got prejudice. And he's in this room right now. And somebody needs to experience the abundance of God. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some big praise in this house. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, I lived when it was not enough. And then I realized it was just enough. And then I realized it was barely enough. And I realized I could get by. But one day, I had to divorce myself religion. You see, I've never drank a drop of alcohol in my life. I've never been on drugs. I've never smoked a cigarette, never smoked marijuana. But oh, I've been sorely addicted. I was addicted to religion. And it's the greatest opioid in the world. That's the reason why the church is full of people that have never discovered the abundance of God. And so for some reason, I thought God wanted to keep me down. He wanted to give me just a teaspoon at a time. He never wanted to run my cup over. He wanted to put 2 ounces in the bottom. That's just the way I was raised in religion. But praise God. Thanks be unto the Holy Ghost. Thanks be unto Kenneth Copeland. Thanks be unto Kenneth Hagin. Thanks be unto Jesse DePlantis. Thanks be unto John Hagin. Thanks be unto 50 preachers in my life that began to peel back the scales of religion. And I begin to see that God is not religion, but God is a God of more than enough. He's a God of not getting by. He's a God of here's all you want. Here's a God that will fill your cup and run some over on the ground. He's a God that will meet all your needs, and then he'll address the desires of your life. That God's in this room right now. And if you don't have money in your pocket, you ought to have your hands up saying, God, I need me some money. If you've got sin in your life, you ought to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. If you've got any kind of pain in your body, you ought to be saying, by his stripes I am healed. He sent his word and healed them. That abundant God is in this building today and is just waiting for somebody to tear the wrapping paper off, take the tape and string off, and say, I want to discover the abundance of Almighty God, because there's a God that's waiting to reveal himself today in Jesus' name. My life is amazing. My life is amazing. I called Sister Becky. I said, anything happened? I was out of the office Friday. She said, you got a check for $13,000. I said, I'd take that. She said, you got a check for $2,511. I said, I'll take that. That's abundance. Folks, I don't even need it. I remember when I couldn't make my car payment. I remember when we couldn't make the church payment. I remember where it was just tense all the time, where we had to count the offering and make sure we was going to be able to hold it a few more days. But oh, thank God those days are behind us. And I want them to be behind you. I want you to discover the abundance of God. He's a lavish God. He's a glorious God. He's a mighty God. He's not a God of drip, drip, drip. He's a God of pour, pour, pour. Oh, and God wants to pour. He said in the last days, and these are those. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour it out upon all flesh. Why don't you let God pour you out a blessing today? If you're in this building and you're not saved, would you run to the altar and find his salvation? If you're empty, would you run to the altar and get filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're sick, would you run to the altar and get healed? If you're broke, would you run to the altar and break the curse of poverty? If you've got hatred, would you let God change your heart? Hallelujah. Whatever you need from the Lord is in this house right now. I'm through. Becky is singing. But if you have any kind of a lack in your life, I challenge you to step out walk down this aisle and allow God to become the God of abundance in your life in Jesus' name.